Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former NFL coach, now with NFL Network, Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning head coach, of course. And Brian, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Sure thing.
And you're here with us with SeatGeek as well, right? I love SeatGeek.
Yeah, you got whatever your ticket needs. You know, you go to SeatGeek, you're an informed consumer when you use SeatGeek.com. Use the app, tells you what the relative deals are, what the timing of your ticket, shows you where the ticket is. Best of all, every transaction on SeatGeek.com is 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, I love it. I use it myself. It's great stuff. Coach, we appreciate the time. You know, the Browns start the season after an 0-16 year, and they tie. And we hate ties. Everybody hates ties. But, of course, how do you react as a coach to a tie? I mean, it feels like to us like a loss. I can't remember if you had any ties. I mean, they're rare. How many ties did you have in your career?
Oh, good question. Huh? Boy, that's your testament. I'd have to go back.
Do you remember any?
Right, not really, and particularly when you open the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
And typically every team, you know, you're gearing towards the opening game. And right now 50% of the league is panicked because they're 0-1. And then next week we'll have a third of those teams lose, you know, so you're going to have some outliers at 2-0, some 0-2, and everybody else is at 1-1, and you kind of like start over. But the tie, it is a little bit different, and it's a hard one to approach. I mean, it was hard fought. You're certainly going to have a lot of film on both sides, both Pittsburgh and Cleveland, to look at to say, well, you know, literally in a tie, you know, you always talk about, well, one play here or there, and you always say, well, no one play beat us. Well, you can look at a tie and go, yeah, this one play, this one kick, this one catch, this one conversion, this one tackle. And that's kind of what you focus on as a coach to make sure that they understand just the value of every single play.
You never had a tie. I just looked up your record. You play in the 144 games you coached in the regular season. You never had a tie, so you never had the experience.
So obviously, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
How would you look at it, though? I mean, like, I know the Steelers players said that they felt like it was a loss. The Browns players and coaches had said it's kind of you're kind of in between, like you kind of, especially because they went 0-16 last year, so it kind of feels like a positive to some degree, but yet also a negative.
Well, it's the expectation going in. Pittsburgh, you know, and a lot of people are picking them to be the best team in the division. So when you tie, yes, it's going to feel like that. And Cleveland can certainly draw some heart from the standpoint that they played the best team in the division, supposedly, we'll see, and came back the way they did. There's a lot of positives drawn, and that's what you kind of want to focus on because there's really no upside, no value in focusing on the negatives.
We're talking with former NFL Super Bowl winner, Brian Billick, head coach of the Ravens for many years, of course, now with the NFL Network. Coach, you know, Tyrod Taylor had a really rough game. He didn't get much help from anybody on offense, but 15 of 40, that was ugly. Only Nathan Peterman had a worse completion percentage in week one. I know you've said with us before that you thought Baker Mayfield should play, but they went with Tyrod. They shouldn't change after 1 week, should they?
No, not if they made the decision going in, you know, and my observation that I would go with Baker has less to do with Tyrod Taylor than the fact that you thought enough of Baker Mayfield to make him the first overall pick. He needs to play, and that's the only way he's going to get better. You know, Baker Mayfield did nothing, learned nothing sitting and watching this thing from the sidelines. So if this is going to be the franchise, and I assume if you take a guy number one overall, you're saying this is going to be the face of your franchise. You need to get him in and you need to play. You know, Tyrod Taylor was a tough start, but Tyrod Taylor obviously, you know, did some things that, you know, in terms of bringing them back, and they ran the ball very well. You know, I mean, you run for 177 yards. You look at that at the box score, and at the end of the day, you know, you're going to look at that and go, yeah, you're going to be very pleased with that, and we can build on that. Had a fair share of explosive plays, you know, almost 40-yarder to Landry, almost 40-yarder to Higgins. That's important. And then, you know, you've got to look at the other key stats. Third down conversion, 5 of 18. That's where you really struggled. And in the red zone, 2 of 3, not too bad. So You build on those positives, and now you come back. And obviously, you got to regroup very quickly because you're going to play a New Orleans Saints team in New Orleans that definitely was shocked with a loss to Tampa Bay. And they're going to look to get healthy real quick with playing at home against the Cleveland Browns.
Follow me on this, Coach. I want to ask you a question just from your experience. When you go into a game, how far in advance do you know the first drive, second drive? Offensively, do you script the plays? Is that pretty common?
Yeah, it's a misnomer. I mean, it goes back to the Bill Walsh days where people script your opening 15, opening 20, and people need to understand. It doesn't mean you script the first 15 plays, come hell or high water. It is okay, I know what my opening first down plays are going to be, and those are first down plays to start a series or within a drive. I know what my opening second long plays are. What are my second medium plays? Do I get to second medium after a completion, or do I get to second medium after a run? What my first third and one, third and short, third and medium, third and long. So you script it to that degree, what my first red zone shot's going to be. What's my first goal line play when I'm inside the 4 or 5 yard line. So you script it that way. Some people, I think, have the misnomer that it's just, okay, here's the first 15 plays, whatever. I remember we were playing on a Monday Night Football when Joe Theismann was doing Monday Night Football, and it was when I was in Minnesota calling plays, and we were back on our 20 and threw a little screen pass. And it went, 68 yards down to the 2 yard line. Then we ran a play and scored. And Joe, and I appreciate it, said, well, Billick's a genius. He knew exactly what, the next play was going to be. Well, honestly, I didn't know the first play was going to go 68 yards. Okay. So I knew what my first goal line play was going to be.
Gotcha.
But I couldn't have anticipated it being the second play of the game.
Well, the reason I ask, and we're talking with Brian Billick from NFL Network, is, there's a situation. It was kind of stupid last week. Coach Jackson said he wasn't going to start Josh Gordon in the game, and he was going to try to send a message or something or whatever. And Josh Gordon started the game, of course, and he said, well, there's a miscommunication with personnel, and we're thinking, well, how does that happen? Like, don't you know what the first play is going to be? And my partner did a little research and got a source on this he feels pretty good about, and he says, well, the offensive staff didn't know that. They didn't communicate that.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
So that's a bit of a concern. It's not the end of the world, but we were just like, how does this happen, right?
Well, yeah, in the grand scope of things, probably a minor thing, but it is, emblematic of the fact that the amount of communication that you have as a head coach,
yeah.
And this is different for Hugh because he's not calling the game now. So he's got to get used to the fact that he's orchestrating the game separate from the play calling, and that does take getting used to, and that whole communication structure as to how you still, as the head coach, want to get done what it is you want to get done.
You talk about not calling the plays, right? Nowadays, most teams have an offensive coordinator. There are a few head coaches that still call the plays. But John Gruden, Coach, is essentially the GM, the head coach, and the play caller. Have you ever seen that before?
Sure. And that's a lot.
Yeah.
That you've got to really learn to delineate in terms of – I always call it the 3 a.m. rule. When you wake at my age, you wake up at 3 a.m. every night and do what you do at 3 a.m. And if you're a coach, it's okay. If I wake at 3 a.m., what am I thinking about? Am I thinking about, well, am I going to put the fullback in the flat and put the tight end on this, like a coordinator? If so, if that's what you're thinking about, well, who's waking up at 3 a.m. going, well, what about this personnel move? What about that personnel move? What about the cap? What about there better be somebody else waking up at 3 a.m. thinking about those other things that need to be addressed by the team, because, like I say, it takes a village.
Hey, Coach, I was just thinking, because I know you were an assistant for Dennis Green, and I was one of the most amazing coach-like moments to me, in a press conference, was when when Dennis Green went bananas when they blew that game, and they are who we thought they are. Did you ever call him about that and laugh about that? I mean, I know he was angry in the moment, but
Denny was in Arizona at the time, and I was the head coach in Baltimore. And Denny, just my mentor and good friend, and just God bless him. We no longer have Denny here, but we all have those moments.
Yeah,
playoffs,
right?
Jim
That's
Mora,
right.
And we all have those moments, and it's your passion for the game. Sometimes it's understood, sometimes it's misunderstood, but you're going to live with it. The good thing is you got to remember those moments can be very valuable now because they usually make commercials about them later.
That's right.
So it can be very profitable.
That's true. Hey, Coach, You know, I was thinking, like, as fans, media members too, to some degree, you try not to do it. But, you know, baseball's 162 games, basketball's got 82, and football is 16 games. So we tend to overreact even to one game, right? I have a buddy calling me last night. He's like, the Jets are going to be awesome this year. And how, yeah, we're all human in the end. Do coaches sometimes do that too? Or how do you prevent yourself from doing that, overreacting to one game, good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, I feel great about a win. You got to fight off the absolute depression of losing and realize, okay, it is one game. But you're right in pointing it out. I mean, one loss in the NFL is the same as a six-game losing streak in the NBA. Yeah. It's the same as a 12-game losing streak in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. So,
and that's what makes the NFL so special. I mean, the fact that there's only 16 of these, and you can't, you got to hold off the you know, it's the typical, you know, too high at the highs and too low at the lows, and you got to be in that neutral area to a degree. But there's only 16 of these things, and the players have to recognize that. So you've got to jump on it. And until you get that first win, that's the thing with a coach. When you open the season 0-1, you just, it's that, what do we have to do to get that first win? And particularly a team like Cleveland, that with the history that it's had over the last couple of years, when do we get that first win? And until you do, it's hard not to get drawn into, and it takes a very strong personality to hold off the, oh, my God, what if we lose again? Because the players are watching that, and they're watching. That's the key with right now in Cleveland. They're looking for, okay, where do we lean on to know that we're okay?
Coach, do you think that it'll take just the Browns losing to get Baker Mayfield in there, or is it on Tyrod? Like, we're looking at the schedule every day now, and we're like, oh, boy, you know, you got the Saints this week on the road. Boy, the Jets looked pretty good last night, and they'll have them on a short week. Then you got to go to Oakland and Baltimore and the Chargers. Like, it just doesn't look like an easy schedule here facing the Browns the next month or so. I mean, you realistically think that Baker could be playing in the next month or so?
Well, we talked about this last time,
yeah.
I think. It's you know, game that out. I don't know. By not starting Baker Mayfield, and again, right up front, I said, when you draft a guy in the top 15, you need to play him.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
We saw that in Buffalo. My God, they started Nathan Peterman. Are you kidding me? Because they wanted to save Josh Allen from going into Baltimore in the opening against that defense, and I get that. That part I get. But going forward, I mean, how much of Nathan Peterman do you need to see this? No, this guy can't play in the NFL. You play Josh Allen. It's the only way he's going to get better. But as we talked about before, you game out. When, as you look at the schedule, yeah, when does Baker Mayfield get in? Is it because of Tyrod Taylor? Is it because he's not playing well and he finally gets in? If he starts to play well and you're winning as a team, when does that happen? Maybe Tyrod plays well and the team isn't playing well. You make the change. I don't know how you calculate when you make that move, when you make the decision that, no, we're not going to start our first overall pick.
Coach, early impression of Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati?
I think, you know, you look at the extremes in any division. Pittsburgh was supposed to be the class of the division. Cleveland is, you know, on the other end of the spectrum. I think we've come to the middle. You know, Cincinnati and Baltimore look pretty solid. I think Pittsburgh obviously looked vulnerable, and Cleveland showed some potential. So I think the division as a whole kind of came to the middle, and we're going to find out quickly. Baltimore's on a short week in Cincinnati. They're going to play Pittsburgh, obviously, in a couple weeks. It takes, you know, by the end of week five, Cleveland's going to play the Ravens. So
yep,
it's going to sort itself out. But to me, it looks like the division just kind of all moved towards the middle.
Coach, before I let you go, I know you got a deal for the fans that want to use SeatGeek. So,
yeah, I know Cleveland fans think they get nothing from listening to me. But, hey, you put the in the promo code Billick at SeatGeek.com. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Whatever your ticket needs, you got, whether it's athletic events, concerts, whether you're going to a theater, go to SeatGeek.com. You get the full range of tickets, over a million in the inventory. What the ticket prices are, what the trends are, is it a good deal, is it not so good deal? Best of all, every transaction on SeatGeek.com is 100% guaranteed.
Coach, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
It's better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.